The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say, they were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Today we remember the readings are of transfiguration of how Lord Jesus Christ wanted to show the glimpse to his apostles and disciples and to all of us in our journey of Lent. As we have begun our journey of Lent, this is the second Sunday of Lent. And yes, we are strengthening ourselves, doing all the practices of holy life and faithful life is our thanks, sacrifices, penance, our almsgiving and prayer. All these things we are doing, and certainly I see in the church, is a bigger number today. It's good. Thank you. Dr. Peggy Hartshorn, president of Heartbeat International, tells a dramatic story about a woman who glimpsed the mystery of her unborn child. The young woman was seeking an abortion. She simply could not handle having a baby at this time. But she agreed to do an ultrasound. When the baby appeared on the screen, the woman was amazed to see the perfectly formed body, the tiny legs and arms moving inside her womb. But the woman kept saying, "No, no, I have to have an abortion." Dr. Hartshorn felt sad. She knew that 75% of women who see an ultrasound decide to keep their baby, but that a quarter nevertheless still have the abortion. It seemed like this woman would be in that 25%. All of a sudden, Dr. Hartshorn's assistant said, "Reach out and take your baby's hand." And doctor thought, "Oh gosh, why is she saying that?" But the woman raised her hand and touched the monitor. As if by some divine cue, the baby stretched out his arms to the exact place of his mom's hand. On the screen, his tiny fingers meet hers, and she decided to keep the baby. And that is the mystery of transfiguration. That is the mystery that Jesus is trying to tell us when he touches us. Special thanks for all those who are in the movement of pro-life, and especially I see Jim is dressed very well today. Yeah, he always is able to arrange many meetings for that program, pro-life programs, and there are many of you are involved in the campaign of pro-life choices and ultrasound machines, many places. And yes, Transfiguration is that kind of feast. It's telling us how God is mysterious in our life, works in a mystery. And he himself, today, the Transfiguration is challenging us to understand the metamorphosis and transformation, especially during this time of Lent, when we have entered this holy season, sometimes we can be dull and lazy and sleepy in our spiritual life. So this time makes us more dynamic. Christian life during Lent. Again, how? By cooperating with the grace of God and strengthening our Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can pray more, do fasting, do penance and blessings and those kind of things we do during this time in a special way. So our renewal of our spiritual life continues and the Spirit-filled lives begin radiating the grace of God and God's love and mercy upon us. So this is the time, wonderful time, that we renew ourselves of our lives. So the spiritual lesson can for all of us is, again, the transfiguration is happening in mountains. We go to the mountains. It is like climbing the mountain in our spiritual journey, mountaintop experience of our lives. And we see in the first reading, father of faith, Abraham, is doing this thing of his mountain experience. He is ready to listen and have blind obedience in his faith to God, the Father Almighty. He is trusting in God for everything. And that is the first reading. He's talking about that how he loves God so much. He doesn't only want the benefit of the faith, but he loves God and he can do any extent. He can go to any challenges. He was being promised that he will be blessed by thousands and thousands of daughters and sons and billions, his sons and daughters would be like a star in the sky and the sand on the ocean. But they were certainly struggling for a long time that they were not having any babies. They're praying and praying and getting old, but even then they were not getting, eventually they got Isaac. And again, Father Abraham is being challenged again with the test. After bearing a son, he is asked to do the sacrifice, his own son, Isaac. And just imagine how he has to do that. So sacrificial love, that is what it is called. When you are your beloved son whom you love so much, and he's being asked to sacrifice again. And that is the sacrifice. When we talk about the sacrifice, holy altar is the sacrifice. Cross is the sacrifice. That is what we talk about, sacrifice. It's a sacrificial love. That's why his father Abraham is able to give the example for whole Jewish and even Muslims and whole Christian tradition that he's the father of faith. So that is the sacrifice he challenges us, that when we talk about sacrifices. So certainly we do many sacrifices in our lives, little sacrifices like coming to this mass this morning. Some people must be willing to sleep very well, nicely, because they must be watching their games or something and may not like to come, but it is a sacrifice to come here for mass. But it is a sacrificial love, our love to come, our love to God. And that's why we come, doing our sacrifices little. When you talk about sacrifices, I know the sacrifices of pagans. The pagans, I have seen the pagans, they take the chicken, slit their throat and take around the altar, they sprinkle the blood. Still I have seen. And then again, I know the Hindu people, they take the goat and cut the throat and sprinkle around the altar, the sacrifice. That is the sacrifice he's talking. And I have seen the buffaloes in one, yes, only once they will drop that kind of very sharp knife and it would be, they will again sprinkle the altar. So that is the pagan way of doing animal sacrifices, and that is sacrifices. And now Father Abraham is being asked, offer your son as a sacrifice. And yes, how difficult it was to decide on the way while son is asking, Dad, where is the thing to sacrifice? Where is the animal? Where is what to sacrifice? And he's thinking, oh wow, what I should do, how I should tell, what is happening? But yes, he goes up and just he was ready with his knife and God prevents him through angel. And yes, that is the test Abraham was able to go. And that is the way in our lives we do. In our lives we are being challenged now and then, that we go through the test. We go through the tough time. And that is what makes us stronger. In the second reading, we hear that St. Paul is speaking about the Mount Calvary transfiguration of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, when instead of saving him from death as he spared Isaac, God the Father permitted his own Son to die a shameful death by crucifixion, suffering, horrible pain, and humiliation. In other words, God showed his love for us by allowing the transformation of his glorious preaching and healing ministry of his Son to a tragic end. So that goes beyond Isaac's sacrifice or Abraham's sacrifice. He would have saved, but no, he allowed it. A tragic end, proving God's love has no limits. And that is the sacrifice we celebrate during the Mass. That is the sacrifice we remember, that it is a bloody sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is not only thinking a simple wafer over there. No, it is the sacrifice, that bloody sacrifice, which we can think in our hearts and minds, that we are being, you, as we come to the altar here, all of us are able to do the will of God. Sacrificing our own sleep, sacrificing our so many other things, coming to this altar, and we lift up our hearts, and God transforms us during transubstantiation, during the Mass. He transforms our lives, our thoughts and desires. The holy thoughts and holy desires come from here and here, and he transforms us during the consecration of the bread. And that is that each human beings are there. In that bread, one bread represents each human beings, that we are being transformed and become the image and likeness of God, the sons and daughters of God. So yes, it is the bloody sacrifice. That is what Jesus has offered. That is the sacrifice we remember in memory of me, offer the sacrifice. And that is can be possible when we understand that sacrificial love, when we understand that how God is able to sacrifice himself, prepare himself for that particular day. And that's why he wants to give the glimpse of the divine glory of his resurrection, of his glory. And then he's ready to go through all those pains and sufferings, fighting against the evil, the sin. And yes, that is he's going to do. His plan, his son's suffering and death and resurrection is confirmed now by seeing that glimpse of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus himself. So God's secondary aim through this transfiguration, that Jesus' chosen disciples will be able to see the divine glory and might discard their worldly ambitions, name and fame, dreams of conquering political Messiah, might be strengthened in the time of trial and difficulties. And yes, we know that they even received martyrdom. They can even go saints. They become saints. And that is the life. The third aim of Jesus is conviction that he will be continue to be the Son of God, of his loving Father, through the suffering and death. And finally, we can see the theophany, the glimpse of God of transfiguration, glimpse of heavenly glory awaiting those who are able to be holy, who are able to practice and do the will of God, through their trust, through their faith. And that's why we come to this altar. So every sacrament we receive transforms us. Our baptism, we become new sons and daughters of God. Through our confirmation, we become the warriors in our fight with the devil. And in the reconciliation, we sinners become saints. Transfiguration of the Holy Mass, that is what I explain, that how transubstantiation takes place during the consecration, and our hearts lifted up high, holy thoughts and desires purified. And that's why we come for this Holy Mass. So let us be grateful. So fight against the temptations of different kinds. Renew our hearts, renew our lives, and during this Holy Lent again, we renew ourselves. And again, be aware of the message of transfiguration, the message of encouragement and hope. The moments of doubts and darkness, despair and hopelessness and pain and suffering is a part of our life, but thoughts of our future transformation in heaven will help us to reach out to God and listen to his consoling words. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. May God bless you.